Amen. Please do grab your seats. We are so delighted to have you with us, Chris.
Love it.
Just by brief way of introduction, Chris is an author, tutor, poet, Baptist minister, former Baptist BU president, and ultimately an artist with a passion for people to encounter Jesus, right? Yeah. Personally, this is the first time I've met Chris face-to-face, but Chris came and did a Baptist cluster meeting for us maybe a year ago.
We met online. That sounds a little
bit
That's
a good introduction,
wrong,
isn't it? Maybe. Chris and I met online. Some of you don't know what we're talking about. Some of you very much know what we're talking about. And it's just, I was so struck by Chris's absolute, this authenticity around what the gospel does when you're sat with somebody, getting them to be creative and open.
Yeah.
And so I was super happy. I emailed Chris straight afterwards and said, would you come and hang out with us at Welton? Fully expecting him to say, no, far too busy doing other stuff. And it's just this lovely response. You probably don't remember your response, but you were like, yes, would love to. And so, yeah, here's Chris. Why don't you put your hands together? Give him a nice, warm Welton welcome.
I say, that's so lovely. What an introduction. Now, if you think that we have met before, but we haven't, I am not Mr. Tumble. I'm just going to put it out there, often mistaken. And if you don't know who Mr. Tumble is, Google him later or ask your grandchildren. And then you might think, hang on, Mr. Tumble was preaching this morning. My name is Chris Duffett, often introduced as Chris Dufay, which is very posh. And I get to hang out with Baptists all over the country doing what I do. I'm part of a local Baptist church. I love hanging out with the local church too. But I'm going to just confess something here. I meet a lot of bored Baptists. A lot of bored Baptists who are a bit stuck, perhaps forgotten what it is like to follow in the slipstream of Jesus and to let others in on what we've got. This world desperately needs what we've got. And this morning, I want to encourage you, if you're a bit bored, a bit stuck, encourage you to follow Jesus and fish for people. People need what you and I have got. And the vast majority of people around us simply haven't got a clue. And what we've got is good. So I want to encourage you today. I want you to be aware that Jesus is calling you to shine brighter. So I want to ask you four questions. B, you're amazing. You're on it. Come on. So the four questions, and if you want to follow me, you can. But I want to ask you, what is on your heart? If you want to just put your hand where your heart is, do. There's no pressure. You don't have to. What's in your mouth? What's in your mind? And what's in your hand? So this morning, we're looking at heart. We're looking at mouth. We're looking at mind. Looking at hand. Before I unpack some scripture and bring these questions to you, just a little bit about what I do. B, you can just hammer through these. So I'm co-principal of the Light College and Collective. We've got students all over the country who are pioneering. They're doing new stuff. And if you think, hang on, is that like for whippersnappers? I got a message the other day from Wendy. Wendy was our first ever first class honours student. She graduated a few years ago. And Wendy sent me a message saying, I'm writing that book. Because every time she put in a bit of work and I marked it, or a portfolio, or did something, I would say, you need to get this out here, out there. It's amazing what you've written. And Wendy, as an 85-year-old now, is going to write her book. She graduated when she was 82 and received her degree in theology, mission, and evangelism. So we've got students. I think our closest student is in Chippenham. That's quite near here, isn't it? Chippenham, and she's a church planting and reaching people who haven't got a clue about Jesus and sharing the good news with people around her. Keep going, B, well done. Matt mentioned I love to write. If you like the sound of my voice, download my audiobook, Philip, and you can listen to me for 8 hours. And it's a novel on my hero, Philip. Keep going, B. I do love to paint. I do work part-time as an artist as well. which it's quite unusual being like a Baptist minister and an artist. But the artist stuff funds what I do as an evangelist in sharing the good news of Jesus. You will notice Chris Duffett art. Art is in capitals, otherwise it's Chris Duffett Tart. So that's not a good web address there. And I have brought a little shot with me, but I was on the train, so I haven't brought such a great amount of artwork, but have a look over there. Keep going, B. Who's heard of Thy Kingdom Come? Praying for 5 people to come to know Jesus between Ascension and Pentecost. And I'd love you to be part of it. I know, Claire, you're thinking how to mobilize people to pray. And this year, my artwork and some resources that I've produced are part of Thy Kingdom Come, which is really exciting. Yeah. Oh, hello. I've got a question already. Mandy.
When is Ascension?
It's the 9th of May to the 19th. I'm surprised you didn't know that. What's it? I think it's the 9th of May. It moves, doesn't it? It moves. Keep going, B. That's it. I love to paint in public. This is a painting from a few years ago. A big-ish kind of painting with heart-shaped hands. And as I painted, I had a little fan who was watching me. A little boy called Alex, and his mum was hovering by. Alex just loved what I painted. Every brushstroke, he was like, "That is amazing!" And he got a little bit close, to be honest. So I did a chalk circle around the easel, but little Alex took that as his in. That was his inner circle. And I turned to him and said, do you like this? He goes, "I love it. Oh, absolutely. How do you do that? Oh, that's incredible. I love the colours." And then I said, would you like it? He said, I'd love it. Oh, I know where I put it. I'll put it in my bedroom. Oh, that'd be amazing. I said, "Well, you're going to have to look after it, because when I'm dead, you're going to be a millionaire with that." So he loved that idea. And then he reached into his pocket and he put on the floor 1p. And I thought, well, he's bought it. So I'm just painting this prayer for the city of Peterborough, talking to people. Little Alex, my little fan, is cheering me on. And I turn to his mum and I say, "Listen, if you come back in 5 minutes, you can take the picture." And she smiled, and off they went. Well, they didn't come back in 5 minutes. They came back in 1. He was so enthusiastic about it. So I'm finishing up the painting. Alex is just dancing and so excited. And I take the painting off the easel, and I give it to this little boy who's just so proud of his new painting. And his mum looks at me and says, "What are you doing?" So I'm like, "Can you get it home all right? So I can send it to you if you like. Are you on the bus? I'll bring it to you." He said, "No, you can't do that. You can't give us that." I was like, "Well, I thought it said, like, if you come back in 5 minutes, you can take the picture." She said, "I thought you meant take the picture, not take the picture." I said, "You know what? You need to know something. There really is a God. It's true. And he knows you and he loves you." And little Alex's mum started to weep. She said, "You have no idea how I needed to hear that." She gave me a big hug. And off she went. Now, I share this story with you. I love this little story of little Alex, because I reflected on it. I did my Baptist kind of reflection. Those of you who are studying, and reflected on what little Alex and his mum. And I reckon most of us may be like little Alex's mum. When it comes to sharing our faith, we might take a picture, we might observe, we might think, "Well, it's all right, for Matt can do it. It's his job, right? Others can do it, but me, I'm not me." But this morning, I want to encourage you to take what Jesus has for you. Take it. Embrace it. He's got some wonderful gifts to pour into you for the sake of this broken world, for those that desperately need the hope that you have. Take it. Take all that Jesus has for you. I am utterly convinced that he is here in our midst. Do you believe that? He's here. As we gather together, he's here to give you new gifts, new ability, new confidence, new adventure in following after him to see this world transformed for his glory. So let's just pause for a moment. Lord Jesus, come and help us know. Those of us who perhaps already have made that decision, this isn't for me. Sharing faith, that's not my bag. Lord, help us. Help us to receive. Help us to take what you've got for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. B, go for it. Keep going. So the key text, 1 Peter 3:15. That's what we're going to look at. Who knows what 1 Peter 3:15 says? Perhaps like the world's most famous verse on evangelism. Anyone? 1 Peter 3:15? Oh, Matt, you're kind of there. Yeah. You.
Is it a good reason? Is it the kind of give an explanation for the faith that you have?
Beautiful. I love it. Yeah. That's part of it. That's great. I'm gonna actually turn to it. So, the first bit of the verse, and B, you can click away. This is Peter writing in the midst of exile. He says, but in your hearts, revere, some versions say, set apart Christ Jesus as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Do this with gentleness and respect. Keep going, B. Now, there's a group done a load of research, but the Barna Group called our cultural moment Digital Babylon. So in a pre-digital world, to experience the cognitive dissonance of exile, Peter's writing to the church in exile, and you had to go to a far-left university or live in the urban core of a secular city like Portland or LA or London or Berlin. Now all you need is an iPhone and some Wi-Fi. And their conclusion in this huge statement is, well, we're all in Babylon now. Peter writes to the church in exile. The church scattered amongst the majority that haven't got a clue about Jesus. And here we are in our culture as exiles, scattered. Keep going, V. John Mark Comer. Any John Mark Comer fans in the house? There's a few. Just finished reading Practicing the Way. Such a beautiful book. And within his book, Live No Lies, he describes exile and living in Babylon as, well, it's not an easy place. It doesn't feel like home. We feel a dislocation and instability. And a really good word to describe how I often feel is discombobulated. Any discombobulated people in the house? There's a few. Just a feeling a little bit lost. It's that feeling of being confused, disconcerted, frustrated, perhaps a little bit anxious. And here we have God's word written to God's people living as exiles. And this is his word for us too. Keep going, B. Where we can ask ourselves, well, what's in our heart? What's in our mouth? What's in our mind? What's in our hand? And I hope that I can encourage you as we just unpack these questions together. What's in your heart? Peter says to the church, what's in your heart? It's the Lord Jesus. Set him apart as Lord of your hearts. You see, what you've got is good. Every single one of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus, said, right, not my life, yours. Come and live in me. We have the most holy, beautiful, powerful, caring, kind person who has ever lived, who will ever live, lives in us by his Spirit. What you've got in you is so good, for it is his life living in you. Perhaps you've forgotten that this morning, that Jesus dwells within you. When he calls his first friends to come and follow and fish, he says this, and I will make you fish for people. And the making, it's not like, I've got a big stick and I'm going to make you, and if you don't, it's, I'm going to make in you. It's that utter transformation. It's that creating of something new in you. And in our hearts, each one of us is given that ability to make us fish for people. And when Jesus makes stuff, it's big and it's good. So he says in Mark 1:17, as he calls his first apprentices, I will show you how to fish for people. Follow me and I'll make you. Come follow me, I'll transform you. Come with me and I will teach you. That's what he wants to do with you and with me. What's in your heart? It's Jesus, the one who makes us shine for others to see, who makes us fish for people. You might just be thinking, I haven't got a clue how to do this stuff. That's all right. He makes in you. He makes it. It's down to him. You follow. If you say, yeah, I'm up for this, I'll let others know. He'll make within you that ability to do it. I was on the way to the post office. I was meant to be on a prayer day. I've got a prayer day once a month in my diary. But I had to go to the post office. I had a load of parcels. And I was running a bit late, so I was a bit flustered. I was like, oh, I'll just go and bung these. And then I'll get praying. And I'm walking to the post office, a bit stressed. Parcels under my arm. And I hear God speak, which is a bit of a, for me, it's like, whoa, hang on, that usually takes a few hours of me praying and walking. And I hear God speak, and he says this, you hide your light. And I'm walking to the post office all stressed, and I'm like, me? Hide my light? I am Mr. Light. I even sign my emails, be the light. Me? Hide my light? Hang on, I run the light college. Are you sure you're talking to me? And then I feel God speak to me, and he says, what about the young people? Oh, yeah. And in my heart, I had decided that's not my bag. That's someone else's bag, right? Not mine. But the young people around me. So I'm going to be honest with you. I used to ignore them. What about the young people? So yeah, I have my light. I do. So I'm hurrying to the post office and I'm repenting. You're right, I hide my light. And in that moment, there's a making in me, a concern, a to-be-botheredness in my heart. Drop off the parcels, I get on my prayer walk, I walk across the playing field. Ryan, young man in our village, walks towards me. Usually, I wouldn't have said anything. And we stop, we talk, we have a long conversation. Comes to the cafe the next day. He loves that I'm praying. And he asks if I pray for him. He comes to Alpha. And we've got a friendship and we keep meeting up. He has yet to come to know Jesus, but Jesus made in me that moment in my heart. He makes in me to be bothered. Secondly, what's in your mouth? Peter says, what we've got in our mouth is hope. Give the reason for the hope that you've got. To quote Bill Johnson, hope is the joyful anticipation of good. Do you have a joyful anticipation for good? I was at a conference, and B, if you could bung this picture on, cheeky little selfie. I was at a conference, and someone really loved a painting that I painted at Spring Harvest. It's a big one. It's that dandelion. And they really loved it. And I said, well, it's for sale. They're like, no, a bit pricey. And they just kept coming to it. And then on the last day of the conference, and I've got like a stall, a bit bigger than the one I brought on the train from the... But I've got this stall. And the last day of the conference, I wake up and I have an awful thought. And the awful thought's this: you need to give that painting away. But I can't. I can't give that away. I painted that in front of 2,500 people in the big top at Spring Harvest. That's a big painting. And I'm like, I can't give it away. And then I said, okay. If I meet this woman who really loves this painting, I'll give it away. But it's a big conference. I'm not going to meet her. You know, it's like... So I go into the exhibition hall where the bookstall is and my art stall is there, and there's one person in the hall. Yeah, it's her. So I say, hey, would you like this painting? She goes, oh, I would love it, but no, I can't afford it. And I was like, no, would you like it? It's a gift. She's like, oh, I'd love it. And then I'm thinking, there's no way she can get it home. So maybe I get to keep it. She goes, I've got the estate. That will fit. I'm sure that will just fit in. I said, well, give it a go. So I give her the painting, and she carries this massive painting through the conference center. She's walking through the conference center, and there's a young woman who's working in the kitchens in the conference center who watches this dandelion in the distance walk. And she's shocked, apparently. And she runs up to this lady walking this big painting through the conference center and says, where did you get that? What's that? How did you? I've been asking the universe for a sign. And she said, oh, there's an artist up. And you can go and talk to him about it if you like. So she comes to see me, this young lady. And she's just pouring, she's bubbling out. She's like, I can't believe it. I've been asking the universe for a sign for a dandelion clock. And it's January. There are no dandelion clocks. I've been asking the universe for a sign. And she's talking about the universe and how she needs to know stuff for her future. And she's seen the sign. And I look at her and I say, can I just tell you something? Do you know that there really is a God and he loves you? She goes, I don't know that, but maybe I saw this sign, maybe there is. So I share words of hope for her future. I share words of scripture. I share about God's outrageous love for her. She's just drinking it in because she's seen the sign. The dandelion clock. And she's so excited. And she feels known. And then I say, hey, have you got a Bible at home? She's like, no. I said, do you want to choose one? And there's a load of Bibles in this bookshop. And I talk about the different Bibles. And I say, my daughter's got this one. She's the same age as you. She's like, if your daughter's got this one, I'll have this one. And we go and get the Bible. She's so blown away of how God has spoken to her. I'm not saying to you guys, paint a huge painting and give it away and see what. But when we're obedient to that prompting of go and offer, go and pray, bring a cake, ask if someone's okay. Words of hope come. We're people of hope, eternal hope. And this world desperately needs hope. Thirdly, what is in your mind? So Peter's writing to the church in exile and he says, do this stuff. But would you do that with gentleness and respect? So much faith sharing is like the opposite of gentleness and respect. But in how we engage with people, we need to show the love that God has for them through how we engage and how we are with them. Are we showing respect, gentleness in how we engage with our neighbours, with those around us that we might just randomly meet at the supermarket? I'm off to see my son later. He's 22. He lives up in Liverpool. And when he was a toddler, we used to go and watch the planes. And he used to love it. And I used to love it. And we'd have a day off and off we would go and watch the planes. And on one day, we'd seen a jumbo jet. And it was just incredible seeing it take off. And it was like, he was excited. I was excited. And so we decided it's time to go home. So we walk into the car. And as we get to the car, there's a guy on a bicycle. And he hurtles towards us and then puts the brakes on and skids right by us. And it's like, whoa, are you all right? He goes, no way. You've got the same jacket as I've got. I thought, great, I'm just about to have a conversation with an anorak about anoraks. And he wanted to tell me about his coat and why he bought it. He bought it to cycle around Iceland for 6 weeks. And I was like, didn't you get dizzy? It's only a small supermarket. And he didn't find it funny either. And he's telling me about, like, his biking and rivers and his jacket. And then he looks at me, he goes, you're gentle. How come? I go, mate, I haven't always been gentle. In fact, my life changed when I became a Christian. I was nasty. He goes, what had that happen? I said, well, Jesus, he took all my, like, bad stuff, took it, died for me, gave me a new start. And he's listening, he's asking more questions. And then he looks at me and goes, you know what, mate, that's good news. Guy who'd never been to church before, never heard the story of Jesus before. That's good news. And how we engage with people, our gentleness, our respect, for those that Jesus gives to us to shine what he is all about, gentleness and respect. Need to wrap up, right? Lastly, what's in your hand? Peter writes this, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And later on, he goes on to say this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. What's in your hand? For me as an artist, what's in my hand? It's a paintbrush. So I'm going to use what I've got. What's in your hand? We're not all artists in this room, but what's in your hand? Use it. People need to see a demonstration of this good news of Jesus. They are not faithless, they're clueless. The majority of people around us just have yet to see the good news of Jesus. So use what God has placed in your hand. Is it cooking? Is it making? Is it gardening? Is it giving? Is it healing? What is in your hand? He wants to use it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you call us, each one of us. And Lord, for those of us this morning that are stuck, we have forgotten the adventure of following you. Lord, would you help us? Help us to see those that you are bringing to us to share you with. Open our eyes, Lord, even today as we head off from this service. May we see people differently. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our eyes to see people who are loved, people that we can share Jesus with. Come, Holy Spirit, and move us to be people who introduce more and more people to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.